Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn over to Ezekiel 28. And we're going to continue our study of music. And, of course, there are many, many references as far as music is concerned. Ezekiel 28. And if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, as we look at Ezekiel 28, I'll be reading verses 12 to 19 for us tonight. If you'll follow along. Tonight we're going to kind of get into a little bit of why this whole thing of music is so important to be concerned with, okay? Because some would just say, well, there's no reason to be concerned with it because it's just music, you know? It's not a big deal. I'm sorry, I disagree with you. It is a big deal, okay? And I guess I'm not really sorry either. But look at verse 12 here in Ezekiel 28. Let's look at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Please understand that as we continue to go through this, a lot of this is philosophical. Okay, so we've got to get the right ideas about music. The reason why is because we have the wrong ideas about music. All right, in the general public and even in general churches, music is thought of as something to please us. Okay, that's what most people think about music. How many of you think that about music, or thought that about music? That it's to please you. You listen to it to please yourself. You listen to the kind of music that you like, that you enjoy, that makes you feel, right? Everybody thinks that about music. As we look in the scriptures, that's not what music is for, okay? Now, music can be used for those things, but then it's being misused because that's not what it's for. Music is for the worship of God. Here in Ezekiel 28, we have a depiction of Lucifer, Satan. He's called the king of Tyrus. This is his worldly name, if you will. But you understand that when this was written by Ezekiel, by what he heard from God, there were no people on the earth that had been in Eden. Everybody understand? Okay. So this isn't a human being, if you will. This is speaking of particularly the devil. By the way. There isn't a king on this earth, or has not been a king on this earth, that was up in the mountain of God in heaven. Okay? And there wasn't one that was the covering cherub either. So you understand that, okay? So it's not speaking about a human being, per se. This king of Tyrus, we know, and have, is studied out to be Lucifer, all right? This is his construction. He's covered over with all these beautiful stones. By the way, what oftentimes do the wicked and the world and the devil use to try to deceive people? Beautiful things, right? And they try to do that, to deceive. So, he has all these coverings, these beautiful coverings. And then in verse 13, it tells us that the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Okay, so we know that, these are the musical parts of this anointing cherub. The one that fell because he was perfect till iniquity was found in him. And what was his iniquity? His pride. It says that here in verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And so we understand that about Satan, our enemy. But please understand, the reason why we need to study things like this is to understand the ideology and the philosophy that the things that God creates, the devil wants to twist. He wants to turn them against God. Okay? And music is no exception. We talked about that music is part of who we are. It is part of who God is. God is a musical being. He has created musical beings. And by the way, music is a part of our life. How many of you understand in our world today, there's something called marketing and advertising? Everybody understand all of that, right? What is most of the time associated with any kind of marketing or advertising? A jingle. All right? And it could be a tune with words or a tune without words, but it's something that they want to associate with their product so that you will remember it, right? And buy it. Okay? Now, how many of you have, right now, because I said that, you have about 16 different jingles running through your head. Okay, absolutely, right? And because that's what we remember. Okay, we have, you know, the Oscar Mayer Wiener song is the one that goes through my head oftentimes. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener, right? We love that. We just something about it, you know, and those types of things because we are musical creatures. By the way, music affects you. It does. It affects you. Music, does the soothing type music soothe you? Right? There are types of the music that kind of annoy us. Right? There's music that makes us afraid. Music that makes us feel safe. Right? Music that puts you to sleep. How many of you get the raindrops, the ocean waves and all that, yeah, all that stuff, okay? Yeah, it's real, okay? So because it's that way, we have to understand that the devil is going to try to use it against what God has designed for it to be. All right? Now, we begin to talk about this. We already talked about man being a spirit, being a soul, and being a body, and that music is a melody, a harmony, and a rhythm. Okay? So if man is in the right order, then he can be right with God. Okay? If we have a regenerated spirit and we have a submitted soul and the body is under subjection, we can be right with God, right? If it's not, then we're not going to be right with God. And if our music, if the melody, the mind, the idea of the music is first, the heart or emotion of the music, the harmony is second, and the will or the structure of the music is last, the rhythm, then it's in order, and it can be pleasing to the Lord, okay? Now, music does have a morality. It does have a message. And it has a place in our lives. The place that music has in our lives is for us to be able to worship our God. Now, let me ask you a question. When you're worshiping God, right? What position does that put us in our lives as Christians? When we're worshiping God, what does that do for us? What kind of position are we in then? A good position, right? Because we're before God. We're concerned about God. We're singing praises to our God. We're in tune with our God. Well, it's about Him and not about us, right? And guess what? If we're in that kind of position, is that a happy position? A joyful position? A peaceful position? A comforting position? Do you understand? Yes, the music affects us. But when we put it into practice in the right way, it gives us all those things in return. But I promise you, if you seek all those things on your own motives, for your own things, then we're doing it the wrong way. It's not going to be a blessing to us. It's not going to be a help to us because we're being selfish. We're consuming it upon our own lusts, as the Bible says. Now, the order of music is important. Words are important. By the way, in Scripture, a lot of the things you hear about music, they are Scripture, right? The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me ask you a question. What is the message of a spiritual song? Yeah, it's really easy, okay? Something spiritual. Whoa, okay, I just blew your mind, right? Yeah, but what's the definition of spiritual? Not something that's uplifting to our spirit necessarily, but that's uplifting to His spirit. You see, people use this thing of spiritual songs to kind of incorporate a lot of modern music. Folks, it's not what it's about. Spiritual songs are songs that have to do with the Spirit, God. That's a spiritual song. You know what hymns are? Hymns are anthems. What definitions of anthems and hymns do we have in the Scriptures? Victories. Right? Victories over what? The enemies of God. Well, what is that? Well, it's praise to God for God giving them the victory. So you understand that we have the wrong idea about music today. Music is to be properly ordered, is to be properly worded, is to have the proper tone of voice, is to have the proper place, and it's supposed to have a purpose. And that purpose is to worship our God. And that's what we have to look at. Go to Galatians 5:16. I think we looked at a few of these as we closed last week. I just want to kind of refresh our memories. Galatians 5:16. And then we're going to talk about something that is prevalent today in quote unquote churches. Okay? Galatians 5:16. If I get there. Says this. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we've got to have the right order in our music. If our spirit is first in our lives, we're in the right order with God. Okay? If the melody is paramount in the music, it will have the right order. So that overriding tune and the words, if you will, the purpose, the reason for the song is in the right order. The words of the song matter. We talked about, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in what? Thy sight. Okay? And we understand that. And then go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. There's an importance here of something we're going to talk about kind of extensively tonight. And that is something called vain repetitions. How many of you heard of this before? You may not know this, But in worship leader terms, okay, we call these 7-11 songs. You sing the same 7 words 11 times. Okay? Can I tell you something about vain repetitions? God says he doesn't like vain repetitions. Look at verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Right? That's not what, it's not about the amount of speaking we do. It's about the what? The content. So it matters what we sing. Now, wrong music is improperly ordered. It has immoral or doctrinally incorrect words. It's sensual, or it has a worldly tone. It has the wrong placement. In other words, it has the wrong purpose. It's for the wrong things. Or it's vain repetition. Now, vain repetition is just an empty repeating. You know, our brains are designed to take in information, and our brains are designed to process information. Right? So, guess what happens when you hear the same thing over and 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 over again? How many of you shut me off about the second or third over? Exactly. Okay? It's just nonsense. Right? Just vain repetition, vain repetition, vain repetition, vain repetition, vain repetition. And they set it to music. And it's just the same thing. Over and over and over and over. And I'll spare you that, okay? Now, but that's what vain repetition does. What vain repetition does is it shuts off our thinking. It shuts off our thinking. We then begin, if you will, to enter into something called amusement. You know what amusement means? No thinking. They don't want you to think about anything. You know what the devil would be happy to have us not thinking about God than thinking about God. Right? Not thinking about worshiping God than worshiping God. So the devil, you have to realize his tactics. He doesn't necessarily want you to turn into some psychopath that goes around murdering and killing people. All right, now, I'm sure he doesn't mind that. But can I tell you something? He doesn't have to take you that far. If he can just shut off your brain, he's happy. If he can just get you to do nothing or to think about nothing, he's happy. Because you're not then focused in on God and thinking about God and meditating on God and thinking about his and processing information. You know, the devil hates us to process information. You understand that there was a time, and there probably still is, where even the quote unquote church told people, don't read the Bible, or you can't read the Bible because you won't understand it anyways. Only us who are endowed with this wisdom can understand the Bible. So don't bother. You understand what I'm talking about? Why is that bad? Because it shuts off people's thinking. And then they can tell you what to think. Because you're not thinking for yourselves. So when you have vain repetitions, they've done studies on this. And you have to understand that they know this is true. Now, there are wonderful books written about music, and I encourage you to read them, but I want you to understand, these people that are in the music industry, they know this about music. They do. And that's why they do what they do, because they know this about music. And so we have to realize that not only the words, when you think of vain repetitions, you just think of the words. What about vain repetition in the music? Did you know that the majority of the music and types of music and rhythms in Rock, country, hip-hop, southern gospel, pop, rhythm and blues, blues, gospel, CCM, praise and worship, new age, jazz, funk, soul, and other types of music are vain repetitions musically. They are. What is that? Vain repetition. You know, I was born in the late 70s, but I'm kind of an 80s kid. All right. Now, how many of you experienced music in the 80s? Right? Something called a synthesizer. Huh? Yeah. What was the driving force of the music of that day? I mean, that's what the music was like back then. You said you listened to that? Yeah, I did. So did some of you. But what does that do to your mind? Yeah, exactly. You get put in a trance. It captivates you. But what do we talk about this morning? The devil's trying to capture you. And he knows these things. So you have to understand that we've got to realize what's going on. The brain takes information. The brain compares information taken in to information taken previously. And then it predicts and makes predictions about what's to be taken next or the next piece of information that will be. It's called rational thinking. Folks, we're supposed to be thinkers. We're supposed to think on these things. We're supposed to reckon them. We're supposed to rationalize things. And by the way, the tool we're supposed to use to rationalize those things is the Word of God. Not human reasoning, not human thinking, but God's thinking and God's reasoning from God's Word. There are things that complicate the rational thinking process. One of them is alcohol. Alcohol complicates the rational thinking process. Do you know why drunk people do silly things? Because they're drunk. And they're not doing rational things. You all understand what I'm talking about. Okay? Drugs. Drugs impair the rational thinking process. And people end up doing things that they shouldn't do. When it comes to drugs, you understand that, right? Music can interrupt or harm or hinder the rational thinking process. You said, no, it can't. Yes, it can. Huh? I'll be careful, I promise. What do people that are intent on having a physical relationship with another human being, what do they often do as far as developing a mood and a desire and all those things? What do they do? They use music. Hello, everybody. They use music. Oh, get a little romantic music going, right? You've heard that term, okay? Again, I'm being very careful about this. But don't be naive. They're using a device to get what they want as far as pleasure is concerned. It's a reality. And we've got to be aware. So, here's a couple of things. Excessive complexity and excessive simplicity are two of the things that turn our brains off. All right? Now, let me read this to you here. I'm going to try my best, okay? Wow. This is tough. I'm going to use my professor voice, okay? Paradoxically, this liberation derives from a proliferation of meaning. From self-multiplication of significance, weaving relationships so numerous, so intertwined, so rich, that they can no longer be deciphered except in the esoterium of knowledge.
Now, how many of you got that? No? Right? Was there any rational thinking that took place because of that particular sentence? No. How about this one? One book bears witness to meanings proliferation at the end of the Gothic world and the Speculum Humanae Salvationis, which is beyond all correspondences established by the Pastric tradition, elaborates between the Old and New Testament, a symbolism not in the order of prophecy, but deriving from an equivalence of imagery. Any ideas there? Too what? Complex. How about this one? Jabber, 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 jabber. Everybody understand? Now, how many of you just wasted the last 2 minutes of your life listening to something over complex or oversimplified? Okay? Now, excessive complexity and excessive simplicity will cause rational thinking to shut down. Now, why am I saying this? Okay? There is some music that is just, it's just da 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 da. I mean, how many of you are kids, right? This is the song that never ends. It just goes on and on, my friends. Some people started singing it not knowing what it was, and they'll continue singing it forever just because it is the song that never ends. And then you're like, ah! Right? And then today, and in recent years, people are making music in its construction so complex, with so many twists and turns, and notes here and notes there, and oh, this is a cool sound, and this is a new sound, and this is that the overcomplexity or the oversimplification shuts off rational thinking. And that's not what music is for. John Cage was a 20th century composer, and he says this about producing an altered state of mind with music. I'm telling you, these people know this stuff about music. He said this: the composer, and by implication, the listener, was to remain innocent and free, to receive anew with each now movement a heavenly gift. And preserving that innocence and freedom meant renouncing anything which might encourage the mind to acts of relation and memory. Okay, so what he's trying to do is he's trying to say what we're trying to do as the composer, and then by implication, you the listener, what we're trying to accomplish is for you to remain innocent and free to receive things. Okay, last I checked, an open mind was a cracked skull. Okay, you understand that. We're supposed to be rational thinkers, not just in a state of euphoria. Oh, isn't that beautiful? No, that's not how it's supposed to be. Okay? So, he also said the musical process has to become purposeless. And in the quartet is achieved largely by repetition. Okay? This is a composer of the 20th century's observation and knowledge of what music was becoming. Okay? And so this is what we're talking about. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. Now, there are many other quotes that could be made by many other musicians and even more modern musicians. These people know what music is doing to people. And that's why they do what they do. Now, I'm going to spare you some of the gross details of what some rock musicians say about their music. They know what it does to people. And that's why they compose and make and perform the types of music that they do. Now, so don't be deceived by that. But here we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how all that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So please understand that we need to look at the music world, the history of the music world, and not be ignorant and not close our eyes and close our ears. "Well, that was before." No, just take a look at what the devil is doing in the music world. So, not only do words become vain repetitions, either too simple or too complex, but also rhythms, but also melody successions and harmonies can also form vain repetitions. Now, rock music is one of those examples of vain repetition. The beat is a dominating, repetitive force that controls the music. Okay? What is it, if you will, that makes rock and roll rock and roll? The beat. It's the beat, right? And whether it's a monotonous, repetitive syncopation, or whether it's a driving beat, okay, it drives. And that's what that kind of music does. The rhythm is characterized by vain repetition. The rock beat, the backbeat, the repetitive syncopation is something that becomes dominant and dominates and overrides and then clicks that little switch in your brain to go off. And it becomes amusement. And that means no thinking. And that's what we don't want in our music. No matter what the words are, it's no longer properly ordered. Okay, at that point, the words become a mute... A mute point, okay? They become silent because what are you focused on? The rhythms. Okay, the rhythms. Not the words, not the melody. And so these things rule the song and it turns off rational thinking. By the way, if you think about this, I want you to know I'm not glad that I went through this in my life. But because I did go through it, I'm going to use it to the glory of God. Okay? Please understand that. I'm never going to encourage someone to go through something sinful to gain experience. Okay? That's a wrong doctrine. Okay? But I did go through some things. And can I tell you something? The Christian rock music that I used to listen to, right? And the regular secular rock music I used to listen to had the same musical design. And guess what? The words didn't matter. It didn't matter if I was singing the Christian words or if I was singing the secular rock words. It was still rock music and it still affected me the same way. And the words didn't make me feel better about it or worse about it. So in other words, because my rational thinking was shut off, the words didn't matter. It didn't matter if I was singing, Jesus, Jesus, or Satan, Satan, you know. It didn't matter. Because it was still that screeching, monotonous, vain. Let me ask you a question. Did it matter to you whether I did Jesus or Satan right there? No, you both were shocked by the, wah, 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 okay. You say, how is it? That's what rock music sounds like. You say, how do you know? I listened to it. Now, the rational thinking is shut off, and with the mind altered, the natural man is ready and willing to take control. You have just been captured by the devil. You understand that these things are written for our admonition. These things are written for in samples to us. The Bible gives us proper principles of music. When the flesh is in control and the rational thinking is not focused on God, we end up on the wrong side of things concerning music. Rock beats, backbeats, rhythm manipulation does not introduce a new style of music. It introduces a new style of thinking. It's called not thinking. And guess what happens when we don't think? We fall. You see, we've got to realize that we are fighting a real adversary. The plan of Satan, the master of music, is so that you don't think. You just feel. Okay? He wants you to just feel. How many of you, we've talked about this before, but you've heard this saying, just follow your heart, follow your feelings. Can I tell you something? If I always followed my heart and feelings, I would always be at a donut shop. Or an ice cream parlor. Or a combination donut shop and ice cream parlor. That sounds great to me, brother. I got Brother Kiro's thinking. He's like, glory to God, where is this place? You know, Krispy Kreme ice cream. Woohoo! How many of you want to go have ice cream and donuts right now? Yeah, me too. No, I'm not going to. No! And by the way, I can go back through and read the whole book of Romans. If we follow the flesh, we'll be destroyed. But if we follow the Spirit, we'll live. We cannot follow the flesh. Now, Satan has a plan. He wants you to turn off your thinking so that you will be diverted to your natural state. And folks, our natural state is horrible. The natural state of man is horrible. We're better than that. We've been born again. We have a new life in Christ. So we've got to stay plugged in to the new life. Think about this. When you remove the power from an electronic device, if it doesn't have certain safety functions, what does it do when you power it back up again? It reverts to the default. Anybody understand this process? Okay? So guess what? If we get unplugged from our power source, what do we refer to? The default. So when Satan turns our brain off with repetitive music, whether in rhythm, whether in harmony, whether in not just words but other things. When we flip that switch, we revert to the natural man. We've got to stay plugged in to the things of God. Our flesh is a tool that he wants to use against you and against God. Let me just mention some of these things, okay? Now, when you think of pop rock music or rock and roll music, heavy metal music, whatever kinds of things, what does that appeal to? What does that type of music appeal to? To your body, okay? To the flesh, all right? Because it's all about the rhythms, all right? What does, if you will, country music or country western music, what does that appeal to most of the time? Your emotions, right? Your feelings. You have the different ballads, the different songs about this. And, you know, I always tell a joke. What do you get when you play country music backwards? You get your house back, you get your car back, you get your dog back, you get your wife back. Because you lost all those things, you know. Sad songs and such. But what's the purpose of them? Hip-hop. Rhythm. Moving your body. Right? And I'm gonna try to refrain from being vulgar, but folks, listen. When you watch, if you ever watch people that are listening to this kind of music, the things that they're doing with their body, they're not just exercising. You know, here, let's see if this is provocative to you, okay? Is that provocative to anyone? No, I'm not going to do it, but how about some of the dance moves that are out there in these clubs, in these rock concerts, in these hip-hop concerts? What kinds of body movements are they doing? And is that provocative? Absolutely it is. So you have to understand that our flesh is a tool that the devil wants to use to oppose ourselves and to oppose God. And he's using music to do it. And music is not for that purpose. It's to worship God, not to oppose God. Rhythm and blues, guess what? Rhythm. Okay? Gospel music. You say, oh, gospel music, that's good. What does gospel music get people all? They get them all excited, don't they? People are dancing around, right? Swaying back and forth. What's it? They're having a good time. It's not about worship. It's about the flesh. New age music. That's, you know, they want to make you float in the air. You know. All those. What was it? Wait, Brother Losey. He helps me with this. Sometimes people will make claims on our YouTube videos or our Facebook videos, and they'll say we have a copyright claim. And one of them was, we had some feedback in one of the monitors, and some group said, this is our new age meditation music. Whoa, that's cool. You know. Yeah, that's really peaceful. Okay. Anyways, I just laughed at that one. That one really made me laugh. It was funny. Can I tell you something? Jazz is a very complex music. And listen, let me just show you this. This is commonly known as a what? As a jazz instrument, everybody. Okay? Now, it can be played the right way, and it can be played the wrong way, just like any other instrument can, right? But can I tell you something? People that play these instruments, like the saxophone, the trombone, even the trumpet in some cases, in order to play a jazz scale or jazz music effectively, you have to be a very expert musician. Okay, because there's some little things in here that if I want to get a certain note in a scale that's not normally in the regular scale, I've got to manipulate some things to make that happen. And I'm just telling you, some of the best musicians that I know were jazz musicians. And you've got to, and so jazz is a complex type of music. But again, whether it's complex or whether it's simple, it's going to turn off that rational thinking. So we have to realize that there's a purpose for this. All of these things are in some way, shape, or form designed to appeal to either your flesh or your emotions, to get them out of order so that you're out of order with God. That's the devil's job, if you will. That's what he does. He is completely intent on getting you out of order with God. That's why we have to fight to keep things in order. Go to Romans chapter 7. We're about done tonight. We'll move on to some other things. I've just got a few verses here. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul said this. And by the way, we need to think about this concerning our music. In a couple of Sunday nights, I'm going to ask you to do something about your music. I'm going to ask you to evaluate your music. And I want you to write down some things about your music. Look what he says in verse 18, chapter 7. He says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth," read that with me, "no good thing." Folks, if you don't believe that, then you got some problems. He says, "No good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind," and here, get this, "and bringing me into captivity." And let me ask you a question. Have any of you ever been captivated by music? Yeah, it can captivate you. And we've got to be careful about that. He says, captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Another verse very quick, Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Folks, it's going to shut us off. It's going to make us inept to do what we're supposed to do. And music can be a tool that can do that to us if it's used in the wrong way, if it's used in the hands of Satan. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. Listen to this. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Folks, we can no longer afford to be ignorant concerning this thing of music. Something should go off in your head when someone tells you the music doesn't matter. That should be a giant red flag because of what you know about the devices of the devil. Let me just tell you what, when someone says music doesn't matter, it's just like someone saying, "Yea, hath God said." It's the same thing. And a big old giant red flag should go, boing! And you know what Eve should have done? Eve should have said, "Bing! Adam! Adam, hey Adam, this guy here, this serpent, he's trying to tell me, don't be beguiled by the devil. Don't be fooled. Don't be tricked. Don't fall into the snare Somebody said that today they liked that I could do this, you know, the snare. Whee! Okay. You're going to get trapped. And music is one of those devices that he used. Last verse, Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Don't even let him have a place. So we're going to learn some more, again, more technical things to come. But we are striving to and laboring to build a philosophical foundation. Because guess what? Music needs to be decent and in order. Our lives need to be decent and in order. Our churches need to be decent and in order. Our families need to be decent and in order. Our music needs to be decent, done decently and in order. God's a God of order. God's a God of music. These things are all connected together. And we cannot let the devil have any place in any of these things.